I will read from the prophet Jeremiah, the second chapter, 12th and 13th verse, the sixth chapter, the 16th verse. Hear now the word of the Lord. Be astonished, O heaven, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, says the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Oh, Father, may the words of my mouth and these meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, I know it's been said a number of times, but welcome. Good to be back again. I was asked recently in an interview this question, and it was something of a troubling question, but it was a thoughtful question. The person said, you know, this ancient future worship thing is kind of a buzzword, and I'm hearing about it from a lot of different quarters, but she said, you can go to about a dozen different churches that claim to be doing ancient future worship, and you can see about a dozen different things. She said, what gives? What is ancient future worship? Well, there is a book going to be published soon that Bob Weber finished shortly before his death, entitled Ancient Future Worship. I was not privy to that manuscript. I'll see it for the first time after its publication, as you will. But I'm going to be bold enough this morning and during the next few days to try to talk about what ancient future worship actually is. Yes, it is a buzzword, and it's being used to tout a lot of different things. I'd like for us to kind of consider what it is and what it isn't. First of all, we're not the first ones to talk about it, I don't think, because obviously as early as Jeremiah, which was what, the 600s BC, something like that, Jeremiah was already calling for people to return to the ancient paths. Now, there were prophetic voices before his that did the same thing, but I chose Jeremiah this morning because he actually uses that buzzword ancient. Even that early, we were having to be called back to something from before. Well, how early? Was it just back to the time right after the Passover and the parting of the Red Sea when everyone would have had the miraculous deliverance clear in their mind? Did it go back further than that to the giving of Torah? The actual receiving of God's law, learning about his ways? I suspect that it goes back further than that. One thing we'll learn that it at least goes back to creation. One of the earliest worship services that I can find record of in Scripture, and we have so many capable biblical scholars here, I'm hoping if there are earlier records of worship than this one that you'll point it out to me, because I'd love to know. But I know that at least we have record of one worship service that happened at creation. And perhaps it goes back even further than that. But we're going to be talking about what ancient future worship is. Fascinating that we always get captivated by the new and the novel. And it happened in Jeremiah's time. We become fascinated with the other religions around us, the way other people are doing worship, and whatever the most interesting new model is, the new trend. And it happened even in Jeremiah's time. It's not just us. I asked Wita also to read from the earlier chapter in Jeremiah 2 because of it talking about the broken cisterns, about us, the Lord's people, committing two sins, forsaking him who is the fountain of living waters, and then hewing ourselves out cisterns that can hold no water, broken cisterns. And I think a lot of times when we try to innovate in worship, when we try to imitate something we have seen somewhere else, we build broken cisterns that end up holding no water because we think it's about some form, some structure. I love form. I love structure. And one of the things we'll talk about this week is liturgy, liturgical form, something that gives us a way to do something together. And ancient future worship does not necessarily mean that you have to adopt the prayer book as your worship manual. But I love the fact of being able to do things together. Going back, and this may be earlier, but I remember at least as early as Justin Martyr, it being recorded in a worship service, the presider saying, "The Lord be with you," and everyone else responding, "And also with you." That's a pretty dependable worship form, and even my four-year-old twin granddaughters have learned that. When you say, "The Lord be with you," they can say, "And also with you." And so we're doing something together. We're actually reminding ourselves that the Lord is present and in our midst. We'll talk about it being liturgical. We'll talk about it being informal and casual and user-friendly. We're going to talk about it being Trinitarian. We're going to talk about it being Christocentric. We're going to talk about ancient future values and forms for worship. But there are different degrees of flexibility. I loved our brother last night reminding us that even Cyril of Jerusalem and Ambrose were being seeker-sensitive and were actually taking the lead in being contemporary about what they did, in contextualizing their worship leadership and their apologetics. Of course, following in the train of the Apostle Paul. But not everything is negotiable. Our content is never negotiable. And we'll talk some this week about what the content of ancient future worship is. And you're going to be getting a lot of that in your classrooms every day. Drink deep. The content is the water of life. It is wonderful, wonderful stuff. But then also there's structure. And while some structure, I would say, is not negotiable, some is. We worship in all different kinds of structure. Different structures. The ones you worship in are probably different than the ones I worship in. There's some things that we'll want to tweak in our structures where we can. But as Jerry said, we don't want to fill your heads with ancient future worship and then you go back home and get yourself fired. That's not what it's all about. There are ways to negotiate these things, and there are ways to make an apologetic and to share the beauty of what we're learning as we can where we are. And whatever we can't implement in our home churches, we may be able to implement in our homes. I have found that that's the best place to start with some ancient future worship models. A few Advents ago, we began at the dinner table. Anytime we gathered for a meal, "The Lord be with you and also with you." And before beginning to pass the bowls of food around, plates of food around, to say, "Let's proclaim the mystery of faith." And everyone would say together, "Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again." And every meal became a Eucharistic experience. Every meal became a time when Jesus was becoming known to us in the breaking of the bread, just because of saying a few words, the most succinct proclamation of the gospel I've ever heard, turned our hearts towards him. We can be ancient future worship leaders in our homes. Our structure will be somewhat negotiable, but our style is completely negotiable. Don't try to imitate someone else's style. Do it your way, the way that the Holy Spirit is making it real to you. We'll also look at who the ancient future, the penultimate ancient future worship leader is, and I'll bet you know without me even telling you already. Let's focus our hearts on these things. Let's turn our hearts to the ancient paths. They are good ways. The sad thing, and I ask Weta to stop the reading just before the last part of that verse in Jeremiah 6:16. The sad thing is that the way the people responded, if you read the rest of that verse, is we will not walk in those. We have things that we cling to. We don't want to do things the Lord's way. We want to do them our way. Let's not respond like the people in Jeremiah's time did to him. When we're called to these ancient paths, let us say, by God's grace, we will come. Please prepare your hearts for a moment of silence.
Be still.